Dobre den, and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and I'm coming to you from a sunny Bulgaria this week. Lovely weather here, which I'm enjoying. Well, the season came to an end last Sunday, and we had an absolutely fantastic day, in spite of our, again, adventures in travelling over and back. So, this week I'm joined by Tony Cullen, Mick McQuillan and Gary Cotter to go through the day and give our thoughts on the season in general. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the break now before the season starts again. Michael, how are you?
Not too bad. Settled down, have you?
Yeah, I have indeed. Tony, how are you?
How are you, Mick?
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, Gary's just coming in there now, so. All good?
Oh, yeah.
Working away, Mick, yeah?
Yeah, welcome back. Back at it yesterday, struggled though, Jesus. That took a lot of energy out of us, well, out of me on Sunday anyway.
Yeah. What's you? You spent more time fucking travelling than you did in Liverpool, I told you.
Well, I got to Liverpool, into the ground required to fall, and then we were straight off to the train after for the back to Manchester. So,
yeah.
That's
hey,
the hard I was with.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
I was just looking at it yesterday. Looking at photographs and all that, and the one photograph that kind of hit home with me was the one I took, our traditional selfie now at the in the ground, you know. It was myself, yourself, Gary, Noel, McKillen and Christy. And I kind of says to myself, Jesus, not one of us got there the same way. Gary travelled from Cork on Saturday. You were coming to Manchester from Dublin. I was going to Birmingham and got the train up. Christy was coming all the way from London on a train. Noel travelled from Belfast to Liverpool. And then, of course, our beloved Mafia boys went from Birmingham to Rome and Rome to Liverpool. So the travelling, the match turned out to be interesting as well. But with all the travelling that went on, good old laugh. But yeah, Gary, you all right travelling over on Saturday? You had no problems, eh?
I sent a picture out about there was literally no one at security in Cork.
Yeah.
So I just sailed right through. Yeah, I got there in time for a couple of pints before the flight. Got to into Manchester. I had thought it would be a bit tight because the flight was 8:30 Saturday night. So I thought it might be tight trying to get to Liverpool. So I stopped in Manchester. So I got off in Piccadilly, went down the Waldorf. You know the Waldorf there just on the left there as you go down the hill up the side street? We've been there a few times in the past.
Yeah,
it's on the corner, and you can go in either from two sides. You know, you can go in from either side.
Yeah.
But so I had a pint there, and then went to the hotel, and following morning, I set the alarm for 7:00. Like I was thinking, I know I was only about Manchester, Liverpool isn't that far, but I thought I'd rather be at Liverpool and not be, you know, I'd rather be there than trying to get there. So
yeah,
I got there good and early, you know. So
yeah, there were a few train cancellations on Sunday from when early on. One of the trains I was looking at getting back after the game was cancelled. The one 20 past the hour, there were two of them, 20 past 6, 20 past 7, they were cancelled. So, you know. But Mick, you had a fairly adventurous trip over.
I got the 6 o'clock. I decided to take the early bus, and my flight wasn't until 20 to 11. And I was up in the airport and all. I wasn't too bad getting through because you'd get me the billy. But I was through and all by 10 or 5 days.
Yeah.
So I went straight up to where I knew where we were going out. So I went up and had my usual coffee for my breakfast. And there was one side of me was a gang of Liverpool fans and behind me was a gang of City fans. And, you know, I had one fellow then come over to me. He said, are you the only Wolves fan in the airport today? He said to me. So, but the crack, good bit of crack and a good bit of banter. And actually, before I met them lads, I met a chap who lived in Copenhagen. And we just got talking. It's amazing how small world it is. I started talking about football and that. And I mentioned Malahoy. And then he says, Jesus, I have a couple of great friends from out there, and he mentioned four lads. I said, them four fellas all played for me. You know what I mean? He said, you're joking me. And I said, yeah. I said, I haven't seen about 30-odd years. But that was it. And then I knew there was something wrong because he said, I'm a gate change. And the gate change with him was my fucking gate. So I said, obviously, my flight was in trouble.
Jeez,
and then it came up, it was a bit delayed and 25 past 11. And, oh, Jesus. But look, none of us are panicking. There's been plenty of time. We were just talking football. I might as well be in Dublin Airport having a pint and sitting in one of those fucking industrial estates in fucking England.
Oh, so it was James's Gate Coffee, Mick, was it?
Yeah. But it came in at 25 past 11.
Yeah.
And we boarded fairly quickly. And then there's no crew. The crew that had come in had got off. Jeez. So eventually, I think it was about 25 past 12.
Yeah.
It was fucking, they got someone aboard. And then she took off. She landed about 20 past one. And I had to get from there. As you say, Tony, the thing that hit home to me, I was looking at the two trains take me from
Manchester over,
to Piccadilly, and they were cancelled.
Yeah.
So lucky enough, there was a direct train at 2:55 to Lime Street, and that was getting in about 25 past three.
Yeah.
So, and again, the fellas in the train, they were fairly helpful and probably in the right direction, and that's so I got out and I got a taxi with about four or five Liverpool fans up to the ground, and I got in and all a quarter to four, 15 minutes before kickoff. So, in that sense, but the. Look, everything else, Tony, after the match, we were rushing back to get to the plane, and it was all go, you know, so it knocks the bollocks out of you.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Yeah, I was telling you, I got the airport 5 past 5, and flight was 20 to 7. This week, I mean, if it was the same every week, you know, you'd have some way of preparing, but this week I was the first one to be there, Mick, as I was saying, giving you the word out. But the queue was outside on the footpath. They wouldn't let anybody into the terminal without queuing up. And there were people with suitcases that were checking in. Myself and a load of lads, I mean, last day of the season, there was a few lads around me that were Burnley fans. I've seen them a few times. I wasn't talking to them. But they were there, and they were going, Jesus, you know. And you're waiting, and there's nothing you can do. They're not letting anybody in any of the other doors. You go in here. Eventually, they let people about 20 or 30 at a time in. There must have been, I'd say there was well over 150 in the queue. So that was about 10 minutes. You got in the door, and the queue was down at desk 5 check-in, which it had been up to 8 or more on other weekends. So like at least that element, you were a bit closer. But the screen said 40 minutes. When I got to the 40-minute screen, like it was after halfway at that stage, 25 to 6. So we were saying you're going to be pushing it. Burnley lads, one of the younger lads, got on his phone. He booked fast track. So we said, and the fast track queue was fairly long. So we said, I'll have a look. DAA, no, we're not taking any new bookings on fast track. It turned out someone said afterwards, I was talking to one of the lads at it, he said it was, you could book it through Ryanair, but you couldn't book it. DAA wouldn't take any fast track bookings. So, I mean, we got through. It was at the end, it was 5 to 6 when I got through security, which was good going. When I got down to the gate, it was fine. Got onto the plane, no bother, and out. I met a lad actually when we landed in Birmingham. He just tapped me and he says, Tony, and he says, yeah, he says, Alan, he says, I met you a few weeks ago. I think I was telling you about him. Lovely guy, Liverpool supporter. Yeah. So we had him for company. We into the station, had a coffee. We were getting the same train up to Liverpool. So arrived in Liverpool 25 past 11. He was meeting a guy that I'd know, was a good friend of Noel Doherty's. So we said, Grant, we knew Gary was in Lime Street at 10:30. So he said we'd meet. We're meeting in Witherspoons. Nice Witherspoons. So I went in there, met the Dudley lads, and Gary, you can take up the story from there.
Yeah, well, I had committed to meeting the chap in Shipping Miser on the basis that we knew we were going to be going there. So he was due in just after one. So we had our few drinks in Witherspoons and the large breakfast type of thing. You had the old mixed grill.
In memory of Mick.
Yeah, all very civilised, but... Yeah, so they're off to the Ship and Mitre, and of course, I'd say it must be one of the nicest pubs you can spend time in. So that was good, and of course a great crowd with Tom and Jaffa and Tim came in, and Steve, and of course Noel was there. So there's a great Des and from Milton Keynes and
Mark,
Foxy was there. It was a great old crowd actually. So
and there was a group of London Wolves lads, and they were just inside. You know that guy Peter. Mick, we meet him in Witherspoons before the games and that. Himself and a few of the lads from London Wolves were there. So, yeah, it was a great atmosphere. We got our usual taxi then at a reasonable time this week, I think. You were glad, Gary? But
I tell you what, I was walking into the ground and, you know, I had a the counter van with me. And next thing, who did I see coming down? And the first one I bumped into was Theo at the been ejected.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let him in with the bag he had in. So I don't know where he was going with it.
Yeah.
No. And he said when I went up to your man says, I said, it's just cigarettes. And I didn't look, go ahead.
Yeah. I had my usual bag and there was a forced security check. And yeah, lad said, oh, you might have to go to the hotel and check that bag in. They might, there was obviously a hotel, local hotel where people, they store bags. And he says to me, you know, you mightn't get through the next check with that, you know. So I said, well, I'd put my jacket into it because it was warm. So I just opened it, took my jacket out, put it on, so which meant the bag, because it was fairly bulky looking with the jacket in it. So just that, it looked fair, half empty. So I went down the next 20, man, opened it up straight away, and he looked and he says, oh, grand, stuck a tag on it. Yeah, that was good. So, but, you know, that was nearly kind of an early warning from that lad to kind of, you know, take a few bits out of it, because it was more because it was bulky that he was doing that with it rather than that there would have been anything in it or it was too big, you know. Yeah, so should we get into the ground anyway? I think we heard the lineup beforehand. Tony, what did you think of our lineup on Sunday?
I only sat down to watch the game about 20-4, and you wouldn't even know who Liverpool were playing if you didn't support Wolves. Because it was just wall-to-wall Liverpool from when I sat down to watch it until the game kicked off. No, I thought the lineup was what I was kind of expecting. I suppose the only surprise was Hang wasn't starting.
Did you want to give Mick a heart attack when you arrived on the ground after all that running around?
I thought the lineup was good. Yeah. The back five was the back five. I couldn't see him doing anything different there with who we had available, who wasn't out. And I didn't think he was going to swap Silva in for Jimenez at that stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I don't know what the other lads thought, but I kind of thought the team nearly picked itself. The only other option would have been playing three up front, but he obviously didn't go down that road.
Yeah. But, Mick, you were happy enough with the lineup, yeah?
Yeah, as I told you before the match, my words to you, that's the best lineup we put together in weeks, I said, in my opinion, and the proper system. And as I said to Gary, I had Dendonka in the middle with the middle five and the two boys. And I tell you, I think after watching that game on Sunday, it backed up what I've been saying for that quite a number of weeks. It's the only way with the players we have. And I thought it was a fantastic game of football. Yes, there was mistakes here and there in the second thing, but it was a game that was played at both sides were trying to win that game, you know?
Yeah.
I was delighted for Jimenez had a fantastic game up front.
Yeah.
You know, it suits him to down to the ground. That sort of thing. Neto was on fire. No, not only I thought, in fairness to him, his best game in weeks. I know he came back from an injury. He was Neves.
Yeah.
And we were pinged with the system we had. We were able to ping those long balls, and that caused Liverpool lots of problems at times.
As you're saying though, Mick, you know, Neto was on fire with Jesus. It didn't take long for Liverpool to pull him out anyway. Yeah, I mean, it was a great start. We got the goal. We thought, this is our day. We're going to upset all the odds and everything. Gary, what did you...
Carragher was crying, Tony. He couldn't believe we'd scored, and he thought we were ruining the party, you know. He was just whinging the whole time.
Yeah. Ah, sure. God help him. Gary, after the early goal, Gary, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I must say, like, it was a brilliant day. You know, I mean, what I really liked about it was we didn't give Liverpool... We gave them the respect to turning up, but after that, we gave them no respect whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, we laid into them. And the crowd as well. That's that kind of, you know, we gave them some stick, didn't we? You know,
brilliant.
Yeah. Well, they just think, you know, you're going to sit back and roll over. And on the pitch... and off the pitch, I thought we were immense. Like, you know, I thought we were brilliant. What I also liked was, if you compare to when we played Liverpool at home, and we played, and I think it was an absolute guarantee that he was going to go, you know, the 3-5-2 when or 5-3-2, whatever you want to look at it, when we're playing City Liverpool in particular. But at home, if you remember, we kept them till nil until the 94th minute.
Yeah.
It was a very different game. You know, I thought this time we really gave as good as we got. We went toe to toe with them. We went toe to toe with them at Molineux. I thought it was a restraining exercise. Yeah. I thought they were I just thought it was brilliant. And like the only bad thing about it was with Wang coming on so early, he had time to things up basically. And and he duly did so. I thought for the first time, I don't know, living memory maybe, I would have been happy enough to see the sub being subbed. Do you know what I mean?
But I mean, he didn't get
enough time, but like, he just didn't give us anything, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was just a pity.
And I think we probably tend to forget. Like, I mean, Jimenez had a great chance for a second goal early, not too long after the first one. You know, the ball that came in, he just clipped it just the wrong side of the post. I mean, I know Villa were 2-0 and they lost 3-2, but I don't think if we had gone 2-0 against Liverpool that we'd have been collapsing.
I was looking at that for again, and I was looking at, you know, the statistics can be misleading, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was on the first half, and then coming to halftime, Liverpool had 11 chances, okay?
Yeah.
Wolves had, I think it was 3, as they say. We'd hit the target, I think, at the same amount of time as Liverpool hit the target. Like, we had, as you say, it was a fantastic goal, the way we opened them up, Jimenez, fantastic ball over. And then there was a brilliant move with Benedetto and Dendonka, and it just kicked the wrong side of the post. But Wang, yeah. Jesus Christ, Johnny put him through brilliantly.
Yeah.
And I know the keeper, there were 3 brilliant chances in the first half of that one. And to me, our chances were clear cut. You know what I mean? We tacked
them
up, you know?
Yeah. Every time, when they attacked, if they lost the ball, like, we were breaking. It was like the Wolves of old. And like, at times, like, I suppose against United and Spurs, we were similar this season away. Jeez, we were the threat every time we got the ball on the break. But that
system allows you to do that. And, like, the one thing I have said about the two boys, the two teams, what you call them, City and Liverpool, both them teams give up chances.
They get so many men forward. They will give up chances. I mean, our goal was a prime example. Just a kick out from the goalie, like.
Yeah, but the thing is, Gary, you look
at one. Can you get? You know.
Yeah, but Gary, but you got to look at here is that our lads were back. They went line up front, and the ball, the space was in behind Liverpool, and we were able to, with the pace we have, we were able to attack that, and that's what we're good at. In fairness, when they got the ball and they had a fair bit of possession. But the amount of times, because of the system we play, we're brilliant at getting the blocks in, closing down the shots. Like, look at everyone. I'll tell you who probably had Bournemouth's best games for years. Willie Bolly. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he was brilliant, actually. Yeah, thought he was.
Brilliant,
yeah.
You know, on the day. And the young fella, Gomez. Now, he did make a couple of blunders, but Jesus, what a game for the young fella to get in there. Yeah. You know, he didn't have it easy, but he certainly shows he had...
Yeah,
a lot of talent.
Yeah, which I think falls make you to compare. I think it was Southampton home was the other game that he started this season. You know, who he was up against on Sunday was a bit of a higher caliber than what he had against Southampton. But yeah, he was a bit raw at times. But I mean, he got there. Like his pace kind of made up a couple of times. Yeah. But like speaking of himself, and I remember at the time, and there were 2 incidents actually in the second half. Where a lot of people thought we should have had a penalty. We thought we should have had penalties at the time. Was Gomez when he went? Even and I actually saw a replay of it only today. And I mean, Jesus was right pushing the back. I believe Sky didn't even show a replay of it, and VAR seemed to glance at it. But the other one was it Wang on the other side on our side? He went for a diving header, and he seemed to be pushed in the back as well. But like neither of them.
Alexander Arnold,
You know. Like, it was a scandal, really, I think, those 2 chances that we... I think it was 1-1 at that stage, you know?
Well, Tony, they didn't get their second goal until about the 84 or 85th minutes.
Yeah, I know, I looked it up today. I thought it was a lot earlier than that, but it was 84 and 89 were the 2 goals, so...
And I thought, going back to what Gary was saying earlier on, and Tony, like, Wayne should never have brought on that. It had to be Potence or Silva. That's all he should have brought on there. Well, that decision... That decision crippled us for the rest of that game.
Yeah.
In fairness, we lost our goalkeeper.
In fairness, you know, the only... I wouldn't be defending Wang for his performance at all. The only thing I could say there, Potence, is I don't think anyone would have thought that Potence would last from the 10th minute to the 90th minute anyway. So as things turned out, if he was brought on, he probably would have had to be taken off with 20 minutes to go.
Well, he might have been, but he was a better fit for that team than what Wayne was. Like, you're seeing, you know, was and you never, Michinho, I've never seen him. He ate the bollocks out of Wayne a few times.
Yeah.
But he was a waste of space. And then the problem was that we lost our goalkeeper. So there was two subs made.
Yeah.
And you could see in the last 10 minutes, we were wilting and we needed subs on.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we'd only one left, but at the same time, again, he didn't bring him off in the 94th minute when we gone fucking, you know, they got the tour goal.
Well, I think he was bringing him on. But Mick, I think he was there for 2 or 3 minutes, I think, before he actually got a chance to come on. I think he had him ready before the tour goal.
I know what I'm saying to Tony was, to me, with 10 minutes to go, we were struggling.
Yeah.
And Johnny was sort of blowing out. And you could see they were blowing hard at that stage.
Yeah.
You know, and they needed a bit of help. But Lucas, they got the late goals, but we gave a great account of ourselves. And, you know, even the likes of the Duncan, people were slagging Bali in the last couple of weeks and Johnny. And these lads are players of quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Michinho, I see them arguing over 2 year or 1 year. For fuck's sake, give them the 2 years.
I've heard that. Yeah. But, like, that's what I'm going to say, mate, just what you're saying there about, you know, we gave a great account of ourselves and all that. Like, it was a nice way, I think, for us to finish the season. We had a good performance. We finished 10th overall. Like, you know, we were in 8th place for the last 2 months without picking up many points. And then probably one of our best performances for about 2 months, and we then dropped down 2 places. But I think that was probably always going to happen anyway. But overall then, Gary, 10th place finish. Are you happy with that?
Well, I think because we went so well, we got off to the bad start. But then we had, you know, a brilliant kind of right the way up to late February. Because we got ourselves into a really good position, the way we've finished has been disappointing.
Yeah.
But, like, I still find it hard to pinpoint. Well, I think my view on it was we were so inconsistent, and you can't have a home record like we had to be in really serious contention.
Yeah.
But what I felt was, you know, we lost the three at the start. And you know, a lot of people said it was the three losses, Arsenal, West Ham and Palace. But really, after that, we walloped Watford and won away at Everton. And then we lost to Leeds. But then we beat Villa. But really, when it hurt was Newcastle, Burnley and Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, that's really when it really hurt. Because the other times it was an inconsistent season.
Yeah.
But we always came back. But there was no coming back this time.
So, no.
Okay, we got a draw at Chelsea. And we really, I was proud of the performance on Sunday. But 10th was a little bit disappointing there, I must say.
And Villa was our last win, which was, what, March? But, Tony, what was your finish in 10th and overall? What were your feelings?
Yeah, I could see. I thought we might hold on to 8th or 9th. But as the kind of game developed and the other scores came up, I could see that Leicester were winning and Brighton came back and won. So I suppose a bit like Gary, I probably would have taken 10th at the start, but I just think we lost our way kind of from March onwards. And I think those three games that Gary mentioned were critical with the performances. You know, it wasn't if we lost and played well. We didn't play well in all of those three games, bar maybe the first half at Burnley. So, it's so disappointed, really. Good performance now on Sunday. I must admit, watching on the TV, the atmosphere was brilliant, and the team really did play well, and he got his tactics right. And at one stage, we should have been 3-1 up. I just couldn't believe we hadn't scored another second goal. You know, I was roaring and shouting at the TV, and no,
you should have heard us.
nobody to roar at. You know, nobody to shout at.
Yeah, but with the game over now, we didn't even get a chance to have a little drink locally. We were straight onto the.
If I go any further, Tony, I'll come in on my season. I say we should have finished, in my opinion, 4th in that division, and I stick by it. And the reason we didn't. We have a very, very poor manager. Now, if it's true what he said today, that he was happy with what Wang has done to stick him in and this and that. He didn't say that. Did he actually say that?
No, I think there was something. I didn't see it. I saw somebody put it up on our grill today.
Yeah, no,
it was something about he gave him biscuits for his birthday.
Why the people up? But to be honest with you, if he thinks Wang is a fucking top class player, you know what I mean? We're in fucking deep shit with that fella.
It's one player, you know, and
I'm talking about the manager.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But I mean, it's his, as you say, he brought him in.
No, Tony, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on Sunday, he was back to the system I has been saying for months suits the team we have. And he's trying to play a different type of setup. Gary did highlight about certain games, which I highlighted the last couple of months. And I go back to all those games we had the good wins in, was playing that particular system. Now, That's what I got back to. It was very disappointed the way we finished off there, but I didn't expect anything when he was messing around up front. I don't know what he was up to. And unfortunately, it has major consequences.
Do you think, Mick,
we've lost players.
We're going to lose players,
We wouldn't have lost if things had been a lot better.
I don't think. I think Neves probably was this was the season, you know, the last season for him. That he was looking to go somewhere.
Well, it's possible, but as I've said many a times, those players have ambitions, and for us to hang on to them, we've got to match their ambitions. We didn't show that this year, and I wish him the best. If we had been in Europe or in the top four, he'd be still here next year.
I'd say, there probably wouldn't have been a good chance. Right. A better chance than finishing 10th anyway. We're happy and unhappy with the season, the way it went. Probably mixed. I think the mixed performances, and we're mixed even at the end of the game on Sunday. It was kind of feeling like it was a great, it was great finish, but what might have been, and you know.
I think Spurs got the fourth position because they were the least inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like if you look at Arsenal, United, West Ham, Wolves, we were all inconsistent, and Tottenham were inconsistent, right?
Yeah.
But it turns out in the end, Tottenham, they came good towards the end and they were overall the least consistent. If you look at United, were, you know, absolutely abysmal in a sense as a team.
Yeah.
But because they've got a squad of big individuals, they still end up with 7 points more than us. And they were absolutely dire. You know, I mean, that's not consistent. I don't know what is. And even the run of results, you know, we'd win some, we'd lose some.
Well, Gary, last week, Gary, we played Norwich, okay?
Yeah.
And Norwich pulled us apart, right? More than Liverpool did in the first half last week.
Yeah.
You know? I go back and what the only difference between Norwich last week and this week, like, was basically the system he played against two different teams.
Well, that's your opinion, Mick, you see. But and that's where we differ because I still firmly believe the players have got to take some responsibility. And the first half against Norwich was an absolute disgrace. Like,
you can't
play 3-4-3 at home to Norwich. Who can you play?
Yeah, who can you play that formation again?
I mean, Chelsea play 3-4-3 every week. Play 3-4-3 every week. I mean, and look, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's horses for courses.
Yeah.
It's definitely 3-5-2 was against Liverpool City, and they are the game. They're away to Spurs, maybe, and so on. But look, if you can play, as I say, 3-4-3 at home against a shit team, then, you know, I prefer not.
Gary, it's not about playing. It's not about being able to play it. You don't have, you play the system to suit the players you have. And he hasn't done that. And the reason I go back and I argue this with you, and I argue with anybody on it, is that when you play that system on, we have got picked up some far maximum amount of points. It suits the players we have. Now, I've no problem with him playing another system if he has the players to play that system, because you're not better to. But there's no doubt in my mind that was the. And I thought it was plainly put in front of people's faces there as to how effective we are playing it,
I said it last week, you know, the performance against Norwich by certain players was awful. They were like kids that were given homework they didn't want to do. They were put out on the pitch to beat Norwich, a team that were relegated. They were beaten 5-0 at home by Spurs the weekend, who were the team we were supposed to be fighting for fourth place a few weeks ago.
And I mean, we played Norwich. The
players don't like the system, Mick. The manager puts the team out. He puts
them... the manager gives them the instructions. They weren't able to play it. All he was trying to do for the last 5, 6, 7 weeks was put Wang on the pitch. That's all he kept doing. He didn't play. There was better players there. He should have put in. Same in Sunday. And he still opted to put it in.
Well, but you say, Mick, we go back to Sunday. Pudence hadn't got 75, 80 minutes in him. We know that from when he came on against Norwich for 10 minutes. That you could see he's only getting back. He's been out for 3 months. He's only getting back into it. There's no way he would have lasted if he came on after 10 minutes on Sunday.
You said the same there 2 weeks ago to me about Gomez. When I said he should have been getting in games, and you said the half, you couldn't bring him in. And then I said he's going to have to be thrown in one of these big games coming up. Mm. And he was thrown in on Sunday. Tell me, he should have been on a lot earlier this year. He should have been brought in and in. But the manager didn't go near. He doesn't seem to know when to make changes. What was the point of bringing on Trianco in the 91st minute after he went 3-1 up? When it was quite obvious with 10 minutes to go, we were struggling in defence and in the defensive end of the midfield. We were struggling. We needed help in there, but it didn't come. But to put him on, and he did the same with Silver, he put him on after Leeds had gone fucking 3-2 up.
Yeah, well, I don't think, in fairness, Mick, I don't think Trinkau would have been the answer to our defensive problems on Sunday.
I didn't say it was, but you still had Mascarpone there. You couldn't throw him in.
Who else do we have?
Listen, we're going around in a circle again. Been there, done that. I still want Bruno for another season.
Yeah.
A lot of people, some don't, some do, some don't. I'm not going to lose sleep because Fosun will do what they want to do at the end of the day anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I won't be able to affect that. While he's there, I'll support him. And, you know, if he's gone, he'll be gone.
Do you think he's a good coach, Gary?
I do, yeah. I think he is, and I think when he gets a chance with his own squad,
Gary, about 4 weeks or 6 weeks ago, I got to set it for the kind of glasses. I have a voucher. I'll send it on to you if you think he's a great coach.
No, Mick. In fairness, now he's proved himself this year with the squad that he's had. He's got us into the top half of the Premier League. He gets a few of his players in that he wants to bring in the summer, and he starts the season. Next season is the season you judge him.
Tony. You know what will happen next year? We lose more and more fucking players. Next season, we'll be in a relegation if that fella's in fucking charge.
Well, we can't do anything about that until we see it, Mick, and we won't see that till next season.
I'm renewing my season ticket.
Yo, I renewed mine yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, and whether he's there or not, you know, that at the end of the day, that's
that's it. Do you renew yours yet, Mick?
Follow the jersey.
You what?
Do you renew your season ticket?
I haven't renewed it, though.
All right, just wondering.
You have to open the 9th of June, isn't it?
The 8th of June, yeah. A finish on a high note. Did anybody see the under-23s last night?
Luke Cundall got 2 goals.
Cundall got 2 goals for the 23s last night, so they're back in the Premier League one, so that's a positive for next season.
Your man played well, that Bueno.
Yeah, I believe I haven't seen much of him, but he seems to be definitely one for us for the future. Campbell seems to be a good one as well.
I tell you who looks a fabulous player, one of the younger ones. You know, it's your man Shem Campbell.
Campbell, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But listen, what's the point of all these young players when the manager doesn't want young players? He said it.
That was months ago, Mick.
No,
I wouldn't hold him
said
on
it.
That.
He's fed up with young players. So, you know what I mean?
Anyway. Listen, we're nearly off the radar. We're nearly off the radar at this stage, right? So anyway, we'll finish on a high note by saying we haven't killed anyone this season, right? So
I tell you one thing, I just like it's becoming a right hour with the bloody travel, isn't it? It's a killer.
I think anyone I spoke to on Sunday, Man City, Liverpool, they were kind of glad the season was over and hoping that everything will be in better condition when we're travelling for the next season, you know.
What was the delay on yours? What did you end up at getting home? 2 a.m.?
2 o'clock, yeah.
Mine was delayed for the best part of an hour, but I got back in Dublin Airport about 10 to 12, but I had to wait for the 10 to 1 bus.
Well, I got home.
You didn't get back in until about 10 to 12. I got home about, I got to bed about 2:30.
Plane landed at 2:30, and I got just flew out fast. When it out, bus was 20 to 1. But actually, it was at the bus stop. Just last person was getting on. at nearly 10 to 1 and I got on it. Otherwise, it would have been 3 o'clock near enough when I was home. So 24
what
you, hours.
What was your delay? Was your delay for you? Wasn't too much, were you?
Oh, I wasn't too much. And I got into Cork at 11:30 Sunday night and I'd say I was home 1:15, something like that. So
yeah,
wasn't too bad, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, lads, we're nearly off the air. So great to talk to you. And Mick, yeah, let me know when you renew that season ticket, will you? Gary, thanks a mil. Tony,
yeah,
cheers. We'll see you.
Enjoy yourselves, well, lads.
We'll talk next week.
Take it easy. Don't get too... Tony, you want to look after the old skin. It's getting pretty red.
Ah, yeah, I was out in the sun today. Terrible stuff. Go on.
We'll get to hear the weekend anyway. It's Friday, that's up to 25, I think it
was here. Oh, lovely. Yeah. Good luck.
Okay.
Enjoy it.
All right.
See you. All the best. Good luck.
Bye.
Now, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.